Well, just to let you know, we have the opportunity to support the work of Sega Doris, which is a mission agency that works with indigenous tribes here in Peru, and they have calendars available, so if you want to purchase a calendar, you can do that. I think they're still available in Chase Hall. If they're not available, we can get plenty more copies. And that's a mission agency that we support through Union Church by regular givings every quarter to support their work. They're tremendously valuable work in Peru. And some of you know Peter Hawking, who's been working with that agency for many, many years. And we pray for blessing on that work that he does. Okay, so we're at the beginning of another new year, another year, 2016. Some of you can see on the screen what is often quoted at the beginning of a new year. In fact, a king of the United Kingdom, in his New Year's Day speech, he used this in the late 1930s. And it almost has a timeless sense because it applies equally to today. So I want to quote it, and if you can read it from the screen, that's great. Otherwise, just listen. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may go safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.'" That's a wonderful way to consider how you and I can enter into this year, 2016, by just listening to that advice, timeless advice. It's applicable to any context and any age. "Put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." How profound was that message that was given to a population that was going to enter a time of uncertainty? And even today, we think of the uncertainty of 2016 and how important it is to put our hand into the hand of God. He holds us and he doesn't let us go. We're going to look at this theme of the first Sunday of the month and the first Sunday of the year with a particular focus, not just on one text as I usually would do some sort of expository message from one text of the Bible, more the theme or the idea, the concept of what we are going to look to, what we're going to trust in during this year, and see if we can find that the Scriptures actually teach us very clear lessons and give us directions as to how we can enter 2016 on a proper footing. Maybe you can see our first point this morning is looking for prayer. Prayer for the new year. Now, that was probably something that many of you did. You ended 2015, and maybe you thanked God for that year, and you've entered a new year. Maybe you were grateful that 2015 finished, and you've got a new start. The slate is clean, so to speak. You have an opportunity to begin things from zero, to make resolutions, to promise to do certain things, to be different. "Things will be different for me this year," you said as the bell tolled on the new year and the fireworks exploded. You know, one of the things we can think of is our fears. Our fears on a new year. What will happen to me? What's going to go on this year? What am I going to have to face? Well, I find myself in the mindset of Michael Jordan, the basketball player, and he said, "I can accept failure, but I can't accept not trying." And that's one of the things maybe you and your personality have a different view about, that you're afraid. You're afraid to try. In 2016, it's going to present with you lots of opportunities, maybe even to take the step of faith, to try what God is like, to find out, to taste and see. and find that the Lord is good, who trusts in him is blessed. But will you be afraid to do it? Michael Jordan said, I can accept failure, but I can't accept not trying. We can be paralyzed by our fears. Maybe you are afraid about 2016. Where did 2015 go? It seemed to pass so quickly. It was just another year, though, wasn't it? It finished. And it's true what they say. The older you get, it seems to pass quicker. The theory goes that when you're 5, 1 year is a fifth, 20% of your life. So you remember it. Seems to last forever. That explains to me why the summer holidays from school seem to be much longer back then. But when you're 70, 1 year is a 70th of your life, isn't it? So it's just a much smaller percentage, relatively speaking, of your life experience. And it passes like that. And that's maybe why we experience or we think that life passes much quicker as we get older. It's not really any quicker, we know that. It's just that we've got so much more of life that we've experienced. And so little now to dwell on about each year seems to have been given less space in our memories. Well, we can have lots of uncertainties. Maybe you have uncertainty in life. What's the message of the new year for you? God is faithful. That's the message of the new year. Summing up God, how would you sum up God? Yeah, we could list all the things, his attributes. We could say righteous, holy, just, merciful, gracious, loving. But maybe one word sums it up best more than any other is that he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful, therefore he is loving. He is faithful, therefore he is righteous in what he does. He is faithful, therefore he is dependable. He never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful, therefore God can be trusted. I wonder if you can think of some time during the last year where that truth came actually to fruition for you. I can think of many times. In fact, when we read the scriptures, we find that new every morning is his mercy. And every evening we think of his faithfulness. Every evening. There was not one single moment for you as a Christian where God fluctuated or dipped under 100% of faithfulness towards you as his child. He was constant in every situation. When you were fluctuating, when you were dipping in the low points and in the struggles, God was steady. God was there. God was a rock. He never altered. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah, he's charged with this great project. You remember Nehemiah? He asks the foreign king for permission to go back to Jerusalem to build the wall and restore Jerusalem as the city of God, of Israel. And he gets permission. But all throughout Nehemiah, he's faced with challenges and obstacles and opposition and people conspiring and all sorts of things are there. But throughout Jeremiah, you find little verses where he prays. And he prays very short prayers. It's like, remember me. Remember me. When all this is done, remember me. And paraphrasing it. And at the very end of the chapter 13, the end of the book, Nehemiah finishes off, and these are the final words of Nehemiah, remember me with favor, O my God. Favor as in grace, God's unmerited favor towards people. Remember me with good. Do good to me, my God. Nehemiah got it right. Going into the uncertainties, facing the challenges, looking forward, remember me with favor because God is faithful. Someone wrote the poem, you stand and you ask, what of the days in store? He answers you, blessing. Yes, blessing more and more. What form that blessing takes, you may not yet know, but blessing upon blessing, he waits to bestow. Don't get mixed up about that blessing. You could go to someone who claims that that blessing is God is going to prosper you and give you everything you want. He's going to give you all the money, the abundance, the life, the health, everything you want. This is going to be heaven on earth for you because you're going to get blessed. That's not the biblical message. The biblical message is Jesus said, you are a Christian, you're going to face hardship. You might not have a place to lay down your head. You might not have food enough to get round and support that day. You might have old clothes. You may only have one cloak. You may be persecuted. You may have all sorts of things that go against you. But one thing is, you will never be without blessing. The Lord with his people is blessing. The Lord with his people. It's not an abundance of possessions that makes up our life, Jesus said. He said he came to give us abundant life in him. It's our relationship with him. It's how we are with God. It's knowing that he is faithful, therefore I will trust in him. And a prayer for this new year is maybe best summed up in Nehemiah's words. Remember me with favor, O my God. What was he asking? He was just simply asking, be with me. Be with me every moment. Be with me every day. Be faithful to your promise, O my God. The next point is a name for 2016, an aim. You know, praying for God's blessing is all very well, but it's not enough. It might sound strange. When you look at prayers in the Bible, they're almost always accompanied by an action. So we often do things the wrong way around, don't we? We often do jump into the thing that we're going to do, jump into it, we're going to do it, we do it, and then afterwards we say, Lord, will you please bless what I just jumped into and didn't ask your wisdom and direction about. Please make it right. Please rescue the situation. I didn't pray before I did it, but now I'm praying, can you? And I'm going to double pray so it can make up. That's often how we do it. I've been guilty of that, jumping into something without praying before. But when you find prayers in the Bible, especially in Nehemiah, he prays about something and then he goes and takes action. There's some activity. There's some action that's accompanied or it comes shortly after the prayer. So when you pray for 2016, what are you going to do about it? It's all very well praying, Lord, bless this year to me. Help me throughout this year. But what are you going to do about it? What is your accompanying action? Paul the Apostle writes very clearly to the Philippians in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And this is the New Living Translation, which phrases it very nicely. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Forgetting the past. What is Paul saying about the next stage of his life? If Paul were here this Sunday, what would he be saying to us? He'd be saying exactly the same words. Forget the past. Don't hold on to the old way. Now, there could have been in 2015 behavior, feelings, doubts, whatever your experience. And that could have been running contrary to what the Bible teaches. For example, doubting God's promises to you. For example, having fears about things. Maybe having a habit or some sort of personal habit that you know is wrong and goes against the way that God would have you live. Something that you were doing. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, look, that was running against God's way, that which was contrary to what God wishes for blessing you, for being close to you and being the heavenly Father to you, that which was running against that, forget it, let it go. It's a chapter of history, 2015 ended, let that behavior linger in that year and never surface again. Forgetting the past means letting go of an old way of life. But that's not just all. We need an aim for 2016. We need to have a purpose. We need to have some sort of projection about this year. What are we going to aim for? What's our purpose? We need to start off with some meta, some end ahead. The Authorized Version, the King James Version, puts it in an unbeatable form. You know, sometimes the older versions of the Bible, just they put it in the best way. Well, this is an example. Without a vision, the people will perish. Now, of course, it was in a context, but we can take that in a general sense. Without forward thinking. Did you know that you as a Christian are called to be a forward thinker? A forward thinker. We as Christians are to think of what's ahead. What did Paul say? He said, looking forward to what lies ahead. We press on forward. You see, his prayer is matched with an action. I'm going to forget 2015. I'm going to look to what lies ahead. I'm going to press on as I would, as I should. Because every moment I'm being drawn closer to God. Every day I'm closer to heaven. I'm going to look forward. Paul gives us an aim for 2016. Forget the past. Look towards the future and press on. Christian, brother and sister, be a forward thinker. The last part of our consideration for this first Sunday of the new year is the challenge. A challenge for new year. Now, some of us will be thinking, well, the challenge, oh yeah, what's going to come to me that I'm going to have to deal with? What am I going to have to struggle through? The challenge that's going to come to me. What are the things that are going to come into my experience that are going to be really difficult this year? And yet, this isn't the sense of challenge that I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting here that the sense of challenge is what we have to do. Looking introspectively, looking into our hearts, the writer to the Hebrews said, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. You know, the picture has been presented as the athlete, the Christian is like an athlete, should be fit, should be properly dressed for running the race. But the writer to the Hebrews saying, no, typically, Christian, unlike an athlete, wears a heavy coat, a big old trench coat, imagine it, huge pockets. And in those pockets, you've got tons of stuff. Baggage that you're carrying around. Inside pockets, there's even more. And not only that, on your feet, there are these huge clobbering boots that are huge. And got laces that are tied together, so your 2 feet are tied together. And you trip up, and you stumble, and you're falling. Instead of having a nice pair of Nikes that you can run fast, instead of being in shorts and a t-shirt, instead of traveling light, you're a Christian athlete that is burdened down with all these things. What are they? They're not the challenges that are going to come your way. They're not your experiences of life, the, the joys, the stresses, the pains, the sorrows of 2016, they will come. Let them have their day. What is this challenge here? It's a challenge of looking inside my heart. What am I like with God? What am I like today? Have I got this baggage? And the writer to the Hebrews says, let's strip off every weight. Get rid of the baggage so that we can run properly. Let's run with endurance so that we don't tire out and give up along the way. The race that God has set before us, the plan for 2016, for your life, how do we do it? The writer asks or gives the questions an answer. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, a Greek word that suggests glue. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Glue your attention to Jesus. That is the secret of stripping off every weight and running the race with endurance. Keep your attention on Jesus, not just for today, but every day. The challenge for 2016 as an individual is very clear. We are called to be part of this process where we are being molded into this likeness of Jesus. In other words, we're to become more like him, not less like him. Oh my goodness, when I think about it, isn't it a convicting thought when we realize that instead of becoming more like Jesus, we've just become less like him? And yet, we're supposed to be becoming more like him as individuals. What about as a congregation? Union Church of Lima, friends, brothers and sisters, what are we to be like in 2016? Our challenge is equally clear in that respect. Working, each one of us, to be more like Jesus. Then the church will be strengthened. Then people will be attracted to that because we're saying, don't look at me, look at who I represent. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesians. He said that God is the master craftsman in Ephesians 2:10. God is the master craftsman, the artist. And lots of people would understand it like this, that when you go into the museum, when you see the artwork, you marvel at the subject and all sorts of things that you see in the painting. But the main point is, who is the artist? Who did that? The painting draws our attention to the artist. And as a Christian, and as a Christian church, we need to draw the attention of this community to God, to Jesus. So what will hinder us? Well, I've already explained in Hebrews chapter 12 the sin that so easily trips us up. What will hinder us? Well, it's unrepented of sin. It's sin that let's talk frankly, we're quite happy to have it. We're quite happy to live with it. That's what's going to hinder us as individuals and as a congregation. Unrepented of sin. Now, we have little improvement in this year if we hold on to that type of attitude. The Psalm writer in Psalm 66 tells us as much. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He's prayed. Psalm writer of Psalm 66, he has prayed. But he has also recognized that if he had held on to the sin in his heart, the prayers would have rebounded off the ceiling. And he uses a term which in Hebrew suggests guarding away. This held in a secret place, guarding it away. And I like to think of a modern day equivalent. Some of you may have houses, and in the house there's an attic, a loft, and you store a whole lot of stuff in that loft. Boxes of stuff. Stuff that you know should not be there because it's useless, of no value. Actually, if you had to move from that place, you would be hindered by that. But it's so much more serious when we think about it in terms of what the psalm writer is saying. The stuff in the box in the attic is sin. It's sin that you have to get dealt with. Sin that you're pretending is not there, but at the back of your mind is always there. And until you confess it to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, it will hinder your prayers. It will hinder your progress as a Christian in 2016. And don't think pastors are immune. Don't think, oh, it's all very well, pastor saying that. What about him? Yes, what about me? Equally. Equally, if not more. Deal with the secret sin that you confess to God and say, Lord, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, I know you would not have listened, but you have heard. You have heard. So this morning, we've been looking at 2016, a prayer, an aim, and a challenge. The challenge about let us strip off every weight that slows us down isn't a once for all activity. It's actually a daily one. Start the day right. Start the day as an athlete. Ready for the race that's set before you. Travel light. Travel well. Trust in the God who is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for giving us an opportunity to think of this first Sunday of the new year. Another year that has begun. We may have made many promises, resolutions. Things are going to be different, we said. Things will change. We're going to read the Bible more. We're going to pray more. We're going to come to church more frequently. We're going to do everything so much better. We've maybe said that. Lord, we just pray, in order to make those promises even worthwhile saying, that you will help us fix our eyes on Jesus so that we will not trip up with the sin that so easily entangles. That instead we will run light and well the race that is presented for us. We'll run with endurance. We'll tire. We may slow down, but we will keep on going forward. Lord, we pray that you will help us to look forward and to press on to what is ahead. We thank you, O Lord God, for the grace that Nehemiah prayed for. Remember me with favor, O my God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the first